Did y'all see Robert have to help Terry down? Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Tonight as we return back to our text from this morning. Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. Stand with me for just a moment, and then you can sit down, and you don't necessarily have to get back up no more until it's time to go to work. You can just leave from here. Amen. I tell you what, let's read verse 16 through 19. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, I want you to underline that. I want you to notice that as his custom was. As his custom was, in other words, it was something normal in the life of Jesus. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Good news for bad people. Father, thank you tonight for this great crowd who have come to worship by praising your name and receiving your word. Instruct us tonight. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we cracked the seal on what I believe is the very heartbeat and the very center of the Christmas season. The Lord Jesus, in these two verses, give to us a clear description of why he came into this world. The church must never forget that the primary reason for Christ coming into this world was to seek and to save those who are lost. That's important. Because if you don't understand that, if you don't let that sink down deep in your heart, if you don't understand that Jesus, now, and I said something this morning that I thought about when I got home this afternoon. I want to say it again, but I also want to clear it up. I told you this morning that Jesus Christ did not come into this world to be known as a healer for our physical bodies. I know that's hard for y'all to buy. I know that's hard for y'all to believe. But Jesus did not come for the specific purpose of being some type of healer for the physical man. Jesus came to heal the soul. The blessings of being healed of cancer or the blessings of being healed from diabetes is just the overflow of what the master really come to do. Now let me tell you why that's important. Why the devil want to sell us that lie that the primary reason for Jesus coming is so that we can be healed and that we'll never be sick and that we'll be financially secure. He wants to sell us that so that when God don't do what we think he ought to do, then our faith is messed up. Let me tell you tonight, Jesus Christ will save every one of us, but he might not cure you of cancer. Jesus Christ will save you tonight, but he might not make you financially secure. Amen. And there are a lot of people, listen, there are a lot of people who have walked away from the faith because they tried to make Jesus do something on the primary that he just come to do in the secondary. That was good. That was good. Every miracle that Jesus performed, Miss Kathy, was a miracle that pointed to a greater need and a greater miracle. Whenever Jesus healed the blind, it was a miracle that pointed to a greater need and pointed to a greater miracle. Jesus come not to heal everybody that was blind physically, but he did come to heal everybody that is blind spiritually, if you let him. So, in our text tonight, these verses give us a clear description of why the Savior came into this world. I want us to go back to him. And I want us to take our time with them tonight because there are some things that I really believe that will be beneficial to us if we can, by the Holy Spirit, pull them out. I want to give you four things tonight. Some we've already talked about. Some we've already looked at. But I want you to go back with me to verse 18. I want you to notice something in these two verses. The first thing that Luke tells us is that Jesus came to declare glad tidings. He came to preach. Just stop right there. He came to preach. He came to give us some good news in a bad situation. Luke speaks about preaching three times in two verses. First of all, he said he came to preach to the poor. Secondly, he came to preach deliverance to those who are captives. And thirdly, he came to declare or to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. One of the great blessings, one of the great gifts that comes to us through the person of Jesus Christ is the good news is declared to us. Why is it good news? I told you this morning. It's good news, listen, it's good news to a people who is bankrupt. It's good news because we are a people who have been taken captive by the devil. It's good news because we are people, had been a people who had been separated from God. So let's look at this tonight. One by one. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The poor speaks of those who have been robbed and ravished by sin and Satan. It speaks of our spiritual condition. Let me tell you, a man can have a pocket full of money and still be broke. Amen. Can still be bankrupt. Jesus came to preach the gospel and to declare good news to those of us who would acknowledge the fact that though we may have it going on in the natural, in the spirit man, we're in bad trouble. In fact, when he says to preach the gospel to the poor, listen, he's really pointing to the fact that he is preaching a gospel of the free grace of Almighty God. That's good. I'm telling you, that's good. Because when you think about where we was, and you think about what we was, and you think about where we was headed, and you think about what God is offering, the only way we could get it was that God just have to give it to us. So, he preached the gospel to the poor, but watch this. Luke tells us also that this same Messiah, this same Jesus, also came to preach deliverance to the captives. To preach deliverance to the captive. Here's what Luke is teaching us. Luke is telling us that, listen, while we were unsaved and lost in our sin, not only were we held by our sin, but we had been taken hostage by the devil. Amen. Let me tell you something. The devil is a master at making prisoners out of people who God wants to be free. And if you're unsaved, this is nothing deep. I'm telling you, this is just what I got, though. If you're unsaved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a slave to both sin and Satan. You may not know it. You may not have any physical change, but I'm telling you, you are in prison in your soul. And Jesus came. He came and he preached good news. He preached to the, listen, he preached the word of God to us that by the power of God, by the grace of God, you can be set free. Amen. You can experience freedom. You can be delivered. But listen, not only did he preach to the poor, and not only did he preach to the prisoners, he also preached to every soul, to every individual, to the universal world. He declared that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. Because, listen, what Jesus is teaching us is that whosoever will, if you will come by the means and by the way that God has provided, whosoever will can be saved. Tonight, it's acceptable year. It speaks of the year of Jubilee when everything was returned to its rightful owner. It speaks of that time when, listen, when all debts was canceled, when families were reunited. It speaks of that time when slaves were set free and they were able to return back to a normal life. What Jesus is saying, he said, I come to preach to you the year of reconciliation between God and man. Listen, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because the Apostle Paul taps in upon the very thing that Jesus is declaring from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. I want us to begin reading tonight in verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And all things are of God. Now watch this, watch the language. Who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing, that is, not putting to our account, not charging to us, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now listen, the Apostle Paul says a couple of things that is important. He said, first of all, he said God was working through Christ. He was working through Christ to reconcile us. The word reconcile, by the claw, means to bring back. It means to reunite. God has reconciled us, not because of our goodness, not because of our good works, but he's reconciled us because of the blood of Christ. He's brought us back into his favor, back into his fellowship. Not only that, he said, listen, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse number 18. In verse number 19, the last part of that, he said, and have committed unto us, that is unto the church, the word of reconciliation. So Paul says three things that are so wonderful, that speaks about this acceptable year of the Lord. He said, listen, that God was working in Christ. God has agreed that because of the death of Jesus Christ, we can be accepted in the beloved. He worked through Christ's suffering, through Christ's pain, through Christ's ministry, through the anointing that was upon Christ. He worked through Christ to reconcile us, to bring us back. Listen, by the way, you didn't come back to God because you were so good. You came back to God because God drove you through Jesus Christ. He says he's reconciled us. Then he says, he's also given us the ministry of reconciliation. What that means, listen, is that every one of us ought to be proclaiming to the world the same message that's been proclaimed to us, that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. That you can come. Listen, you can come and you can enjoy all of the great goodness of God because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Then Paul says, he's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Look at verse number 20. He said, now, then we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is somebody who speaks for another, who acts for another. Paul said, listen, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are the voice of Christ. We do the bidding of Christ. He said, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, and we pray you, that is, we beg you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he have made, I love this verse, look at verse 21. For he have made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Boy, that's why that's good news for bad people. Because listen, here's what it literally means. It means that, listen, that God took our sin and laid them on Jesus. And God took Jesus' righteousness and laid it on us. Amen. And so listen, what God did, God took bad folks who would receive good news, and he changed their whole eternal destiny through one person, through Jesus Christ. Second thing, go back to Luke. Second thing, real quick. I'm going to have to stop telling y'all I'm closing. Everybody got something smart to say about I'm closing. Here's the second thing. Look in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. So number one, he come to preach. But not only did he come to preach, he came to heal the brokenhearted. We talked about that this morning. He come to heal the brokenhearted. Listen, this literally means people who are drowning in sorrow. People who are overwhelmed with grief. Now, I met some people in my life that when you talk to them, they would quickly tell you, with tears in their eyes and brokenness in their voice, they would tell you that what I've done in my life, there's no way I could be saved. When they look at their past and they look at where they've been and what they've done, listen, they're overwhelmed with grief and regret. And they feel like not only will people not forgive them, but not even God can forgive them. Now, that's why it's important that the church preach the gospel, because there are a lot of people out there, the only reason they don't come to Christ is because they don't know that Christ ain't like us. He will receive you if you will repent and trust him. Amen. And so listen, They're broken. They're broken in spirit. Let me tell you something about sin and the devil. They will rob you and they will break you. I promise you, if you hang out with them long enough, they will rob you of life, real life, and they will break you. They will leave you miserable and broken. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Is this making any sense tonight? Matthew chapter 5. I want to read starting in verse 3. Because what Jesus declares in Luke 4, he also declares to us in Matthew 5, but just in a little different way. Listen what he says, beginning in verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn. The word mourn means to grieve. It means to grieve. It means to have a godly-like sorrow for the sin that you've committed, for the evil that you've committed. You see, the problem with the world and sometimes us in the church is that we don't see our sin the way God sees our sin. And therefore, we don't make the necessary mourning and repenting like we ought to. Listen to what Jesus said. Watch this. I like this. He said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, I want you to notice something here, Solid Rock. I want you to notice the order of how Jesus put it. Jesus did not say, I will comfort those first. He says something has to come before the comfort can come. The mourning, the repentance. Do y'all see that? Listen, he said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Here's what we want. We want to get comforted before we make the necessary adjustments. We want to be told that everything is going to be okay before we have done what needs to be done to make everything okay. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Can I tell you the problem in the United States of America? The problem in our nation is that we have forgotten how to repent. Amen. 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 In fact, I don't even know if we even really know what repentance really is anymore. There can be no comfort where there is no mourning. That's what Jesus is teaching us. And he said, I did not come to comfort every person. I come to comfort those who are willing to acknowledge and admit and experience some sorrow for what they have done, how they have sinned against God. He said, I come to comfort them. I come to comfort them. Go back with me to Luke. Notice a lot of turning, but we're just about through. I didn't say we were closing. I said we are just about through. So he come to comfort. He comes to comfort. And here's what I've learned in my lifetime. I've learned that there is not a sin that I have committed whereby when I humbly and truly repent, that God not only forgives, but God begins to bring some healing and some mending and some fixing. And when it first happens, Kathy, listen, the devil comes along and he picks at it. You know you prayed. You know you confessed. You know, listen, you know that by the grace of God, you will never do that again. But the devil comes along when it first starts and he picks at it. But then, listen, over a period of time, you get strong enough where when the devil bring it up, you say, oh, devil, I ain't worried about that. That's under the blood. I've already talked to God about that, and me and him square on that. Now, you may be able to find something else, but God, listen, that's been erased. Here's the third thing tonight. He came to open blinded eyes. That's what Jesus says. Listen, and recovering of sight to the blind. Again, that's not necessarily Stevie Wonder kind of blindness. It's the kind of blindness that folks who have 20/20 vision in the natural can have. Amen. It's spiritual blindness. Amen. Listen, in fact, let me just tell you something. What's destroying this world, Crystal, is not physical disease, it's spiritual disease. If we would work as hard as getting the cure for spiritual cancer and spiritual leprosy as we do physical, this world would be a lot better place. Is it not amazing how much money and how much time and how much energy we spend on fixing what can't stay no way? I'm telling you something. You ask old Lazarus. I'm telling you, I don't care what you do to this body. Sooner or later, death is going to take it. It's spiritual blindness. Listen, it's having your spiritual eyes open. And one of the master tricks of the devil is to blind people or at least distort their vision. One more verse. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen what Paul says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. I want to start reading in verse number 3 tonight. Paul writes, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," notice Paul calls the devil the God of this world. Now he spells it with a lit G because he wanted us to understand that though the devil might be greater than us, he's not the greatest of all. He said, "A God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not." Notice what Paul says. Listen, so notice that he didn't say he have blinded the eyes. He said, have blinded the mind. Have blinded the mind. Let me tell you something. The devil is much more interested in your spiritual vision than he is your physical vision. And what he does to this unsaved world, he blinds them to the goodness of God. He blinds them to the grace of salvation. He blinds them to the awfulness of hell. He blinds them to the deceitfulness of sin. He blinds them to everything that really has any true value. He blinds them. Bless his heart, I got a baby brother in Athens. His name is Kenny. Oh my God, without doubt, he is one of my best brothers. Quiet. Easy going, fun to be around, love the Dallas Cowboys. That's the only something I got against him. But he's unsaved. He's unsaved. And every time I look into his eyes, God reminds me that he have no idea what he's headed for without Jesus Christ. I told y'all about the time when my brother Rick first started his landscaping business, that he would just ride up with a big old smile on his face and say, "Come on, go with me." Rick didn't tell us where he was going. If we had a knew where Rick was going, we would not gotten in the car with him. And I'm telling you, listen to me, the devil blinds people's minds. They can't see the consequences of their actions. There are a lot of, listen to me, there are a lot of homes and families that are being destroyed. There are a lot of churches that's being destroyed because we've been blinded by something from the devil. And we don't know the damage we're doing until it's done. This is what Paul says. And whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. Notice what Paul says there. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The key word there is knowledge. I'm telling you, the key word is knowledge. You cannot know the glory of God unless you know some things about God. That's how he reveals his glory. That's how he reveals his glory. Listen, when Moses asked the Lord, said, show me your glory. You know what God did? God spoke his word to him. Yes. And there, listen, if the devil can keep you away from the knowledge of the truth, he can keep you walking in a lie. Deceived. Deceived. Here's the last point tonight. This is number 4. Back to Luke. The last statement in verse 8, he said, to set at liberty them that are bruised. The word bruised literally means to be crushed. That's what it meant in the original. It meant to be crushed. It meant to be oppressed. Listen. When the enemy is oppressing you, really what he's doing, he's pressing you down. He's keeping you from experiencing the fullness of what God wants you to experience. He holds you down. Some people hold them down in joy. Some people hold them down in peace. Some people, he never allowed them to reach their full potential. He oppresses you. He holds you down and he holds you back. That's what this word literally means. Jesus said, I come. Listen, I've come to set you free of the devil's oppression. I come to deliver you from the crushing of the devil. The devil is an oppressor. He is an oppressor. Listen, if he don't accomplish anything else in your life, he wants to deceive you and he wants to oppress you. I want to show that to you, and then we're going home. If you can just stay woke for 5 more minutes, we'll go home. Go with me. Listen, write this verse down. Matthew 17, verse 14. Write that down. You can read that when you get home. I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Go back to Mark chapter 5. In my opinion, this is one of the clearest descriptions of what the devil wants to do in every life, in all of the scripture. I mean, what we see him doing to this man, Miss Dot, listen, is symbolic of what he is really doing in the life of every single unsaved person, even though it might not show up in the natural. Mark chapter 5. Let's begin in verse number 1. Won't take us but a minute to look at this. And they came over the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, that is when Jesus was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs. You need to underline that. That's important. There met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. And so the first thing that catches my attention about this man is that this man made his home where the dead live. That's interesting. You see, every unsaved person makes their home out there where death is. Spiritual death. No life, just existing. So the first thing, listen, is that he made his home in the tombs. And no man, here's the other thing I want you to notice about it. Let's watch this. And no man could bind him. No, not even with chains. Listen to me. The problem that the unsaved world has, including my wonderful and loving brother, Kenny Ray, cannot be solved through human power. I don't care how I talk to him. I don't care how I chastise him. I don't care what I do. Listen to me. The problem that he got is a God-sized problem. And only God can solve his problem. Listen, this man, Mark tells us that this man could not be chained by anybody. Here's the third thing I want you to see. Is this making sense? Verse number 4. Because that he had been often bound with feathers and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the feathers broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Watch verse 5. Because this is characteristic of us when we're in an unsaved condition. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When a person is unsaved, listen to me, they will do as much self-inflicted damage to themselves. That's the only way I know how to say it. I mean, listen, I was killing my own self when I was unsaved. Not even to mention what the devil was doing. Listen to me. I was going along with his plan of destruction. His plan of death. Is this making sense, y'all? Amen. He was always, notice something else. He was always crying. He was always crying. Listen to me. I don't care how much fun you might have as an unsaved person. At the end of the day, you're still miserable. I'm going to tell you something, sorry, God is my witness. I lie not. I tried it all. And listen, I was kind of like Solomon. If my heart desired it, I went after it. But at the end of the day, it left me empty. It left me miserable. And in the spirit realm, though I may have laughed in the natural, in the spirit realm, I was miserable. I was crying. Listen. That's the condition that Jesus delivered us from. That's why this is good news for bad people. If you read the rest of this, and we won't read it, I trust you to read it. But if you will read the rest of this, listen. You will find out that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world, the one who rescues, delivered that man. He cast that demon out, and he set that brother free. And listen, and he'll do the same in the life of every single person who will let him do it. I want to say this again, because I think it's really important. Christ did not come into this world to necessarily heal us physically. He might do it. He might heal you of cancer. He might heal you of diabetes. He might heal your heart disease. But what he really wants to do is to heal you spiritually. He may never line your bank account with a lot of money, but he'll make you rich in grace. Amen. in Christ, in God's kingdom. He'll do that.